Broadcasting live from the Student Union Building on the campus of SUNY New Orleans. The Edge, WFNP, Rosendale. Edge News, bringing you state, national, world, and local news, traffic, sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening, and welcome to Edge News for April 22nd, 2024. It's time for less Mozart and a little more non-stop breaking news and smooth tunes from the hours of 7 to midnight here on 88.7. I'm Nancy McInnes, and I'm with Kit Bocone and Cyrus Micah, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on the SUNY New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's national headlines, Columbia University is grappling with the fallout from its president's promise to Congress that she would crack down on unsanctioned protests and her decision to ask the police to clear an encampment on campus. Demonstrations just outside Columbia's gates, which are currently closed to the public, took an especially dark tone over the weekend when protesters who did not appear to be connected to the university were accused of celebrating Hamas and targeting Jewish students. Quote, "The decibel of disagreements has only increased in recent days," end quote, Namat Shafiq, Columbia's president, said in a statement earlier Monday. Quote, "These tensions have been exploited and amplified by individuals who are not affiliated with Columbia, who have come to campus to pursue their own agendas. We need a reset," end quote. All classes on Monday would be held virtually, Dr. Shafiq said, and university officials urged students to stay away from the campus in Upper Manhattan if they did not live on it. Since the October 7th attack by Hamas on Israel, American college campuses have been hubs of protest and debate. The scene at Columbia has been particularly contentious, with protests drawing hundreds of demonstrators and some faculty members drawing attention for statements that critics consider to be anti-Semitic.
The Supreme Court will consider on Monday how far cities and states can go to police homelessness in a case that could have profound implications for how the country addresses an escalating crisis. The case reflects a broader fight over regulating homelessness and the complexity of balancing the civil rights of homeless people with concerns about health and safety in public spaces. The issue has united people across the political spectrum, with some leaders of left-leaning cities and states joining with conservative groups to urge the justices to clarify the extent of their legal authority in clearing encampments that have proliferated across the West in recent years. The dispute centers on Grants Pass, a city of about 40,000 in southern Oregon that, through a series of overlapping ordinances, outlawed sleeping and camping with any kind of bedding in public spaces. The question before the justices is whether those laws went so far that they punished people for being homeless and violated the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. A group of homeless residents is challenging the city's enforcement of the ordinances as unconstitutional, arguing that they are involuntarily homeless in the city because there are not shelter beds available, and that the city may not punish them without offering shelter.
The Supreme Court agreed on Monday to hear a challenge to the Biden administration's regulation on, quote, ghost guns, end quote, kits that can be bought online and assembled into untraceable homemade firearms. In defending the rule, a critical part of President Biden's broader effort to address gun violence, administration officials said that such weapons had soared in popularity in recent years, particularly among criminals barred from buying ordinary guns. The regulation, issued in 2022 by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, broadened the Bureau's interpretation of the definition of firearm in the Gun Control Act of 1968. The new regulation did not ban the sale or possession of kits and components that can be assembled to make guns, but it did require manufacturers and sellers to obtain licenses, mark their products with serial numbers, and conduct background checks.
More than 40 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested Monday morning at Yale University, according to student newspaper at the Yale Daily News. The action came days after the arrest of more than 100 people protesting the Israel-Gaza war on Columbia University's campus, which sparked solidarity protests at other colleges, including Yale. At Columbia, pro-Palestinian students criticized the administration, which last week asked the New York Police Department to enter campus and break up the encampment, a day after school leaders were questioned on Capitol Hill by lawmakers who claimed the protests were anti-Semitic. Some Jewish students said protesters' rhetoric had become more extreme, describing demonstrators ordering them away from their encampment and even flashing a Hamas logo at them.
Just before 10 a.m. Monday, a jury of 18 everyday New Yorkers filed into the Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump sat at the defense table. Quote, "Members of the jury, we're about to proceed with the outset of the trial of Donald J. Trump," pronounced Judge Juan Merchan. Trump faces 34 felony counts alleging that he falsified New York business records in order to conceal damaging information to influence the 2016 presidential election. Trump claims the trial itself is, quote, election interference because of how it is disrupting his 2024 bid for president. He has pleaded not guilty and instead argues that all he did was pay his lawyer.
And now, state headlines. Queens prosecutors are facing difficult questions in the state's highest court about two trials in which they are accused of illegally blocking black people from serving on juries. In oral arguments before the State Court of Appeals last week, attorneys for two black men, both of whom were charged with robberies, argued that prosecutors had screened out prospective jurors based on racial bias. The Queens District Attorney's Office defended its decision, saying lawyers had legitimate reasons for blocking the prospective jurors. The hearings come on the heels of several recent rulings that found Queens prosecutors illegally barred people from serving on juries because of their race or religion. A group of law professors filed ethics complaints against six lawyers in the office last year. The office has also faced scrutiny following discovery of jury selection notes from the 1990s that instructed prosecutors not to pick, quote, Hispanics, quote, grandmotherly types, or even jurors from certain neighborhoods. Quote, "What's at stake is the right for people of color, especially black people, to serve as jurors and for accused people to get fair juries hearing the evidence and their case," end quote, said Peter Santina, managing attorney of the Civil Rights Corps Prosecutorial Accountability Project. Quote, "These are fundamental questions to the legal system."
Federal officials said they have $1 million proposal to measure and mitigate poisonous vapors that may have, quote, potentially impacted, end quote, more than 1,000 Brooklyn properties in East Williamsburg and Greenpoint for decades. Officials with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency detailed their plans to address the Meeker Avenue plume at a public meeting last week. The plume, which was first discovered in 2005, spans approximately 45 city blocks and is the result of toxic chemicals left by local dry cleaners, foundries, and metalworking shops. The EPA designated the stretch of properties as a federal Superfund site in 2022, but as officials detailed the first steps of the cleanup that could eventually result in removing some of the underground contaminants, some residents said they worried about what years of possible exposure to the chemicals could mean for their health.
Donald J. Trump had stood up to leave the Manhattan criminal courtroom as Justice Juan M. Merchan was wrapping up a scheduling discussion on Tuesday. But the judge had not yet adjourned the court or left the bench. Mr. Trump, the 45th president of the United States and the owner of his own company, is used to setting his own pace. Still, when Justice Merchan admonished him to sit back down, the former president did so without saying a word. The moment underscored a central reality for the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. For the next 6 weeks, a man who values control and tries to shape environments and outcomes to his will is in control of very little.
Everything about the circumstances in which the former president comes to court every day to sit as the defendant in the People versus Donald J. Trump at 100 Center Street is repellent to him. The trapped-in-amber surroundings that evoke New York City's more crime-ridden past, the lack of control, the details of a case in which he is accused of falsifying business records to conceal a payoff to an adult film star to keep her claims of an affair with him from emerging in the 2016 election. Of all four cases Mr. Trump is facing, this is the one that is the most acutely personal, and people close to him are blunt when privately discussing his reaction. He looks around each day and cannot believe he has to be there.
That's it in national news. We'll be going to break in a moment, but first the Edge Weather Report. Tonight, expect a low of 31 degrees with clear skies. Tomorrow, expect a high of 68 and a low of 45 with rain showers towards the end of the day. Don't go reaching for that dial. Kit will bring us back with some more headlines in just a moment. Your Edge News time is 7:09.
What's up, it's John Roy. I'm a music director on the e-board at WFNP. I coordinate music events, review music on the station's website, and run the recording studio on the fourth floor of the sub. Check out our music and concert reviews at WFNP.org. Want to use a recording studio and learn how to record live? Scan the QR codes on the doors of the studio and sound booth and get in contact with me for a time. Thanks for tuning in to WFNP New Paltz.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're just in time for the 101 on the 845. Three officers with the Town of Ulster Police Department resigned late last month after taking positions with the City of Kingston Police Department, where they were able to earn more money. Officers Jacob Stutt, Dakota Wagner, and Noah Kite submitted their letters of resignation over a three-day period in late March, with the same departure date, Sunday, March 31st. All three were hired by the Town of Ulster within the past 2 years. Kingston's gain was emboldened by an aggressive push to hire and maintain officers, as local candidate numbers have dwindled in recent years. In the Town of Ulster, officers are paid an annual salary of $55,170 after 1 year of service and $58,960 after 2 years. In the City of Kingston, officers currently start at $63,118, increasing to $68,568 after 2 years. Under a new PBA contract, officers in Kingston will soon earn annually $78,276 after 2 years, and $81,298 after 3 years, and $82,903 after 4 years. The departure of Officers Stutt, Wagner, and Kite was confirmed at a meeting of the Ulster Town Board held on Tuesday, April 9th. At their next meeting on Thursday, April 18th, Police Chief Kyle Berardi said the town was not left in the lurch by the resignations.
State Assemblywoman Sarah Hanna Shrestha and a group of supporting progressive caucuses are taking strong critical aim at what they claimed were weak housing provisions that made it into the 2024-2025 state budget. But Senator Michelle Hinchey, a Democrat from Saugerties, said the housing initiatives will be instrumental in curbing the state's housing crisis and do add tenant protections. Shrestha, who is a member of the Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists of America, said the housing portion of the budget is weak on tenant protections. They include a version of the Good Cause Eviction Bill that now allows individual municipalities as an opt-in option. Shrestha, who is a Democrat, represents the 103rd Assembly District and voted against the housing package.
The Kingston City Land Bank has wrapped its initial pilot program that consisted of five home rehabilitations with the sale of a long vacant single family home at 124 Franklin Street. Kingston City Land Bank Executive Director Mike Gilliard said Monday that the home had been vacant for decades, possibly as long as 60 years. Despite this, the structure wasn't beyond salvaging, he said. Gilliard said well-built buildings can be okay when they are vacant so long as essential elements are maintained, particularly those that keep water out. Quote, Franklin Street was structurally in great shape, end quote, he added. The fully rehabbed home at 124 Franklin Street sold for around $200,000, while the market would appraise it around $650,000, according to Gilliard.
For all the students listening, here's the latest updates from around our campus. You're invited to attend an informational forum on higher education in Cuba on Wednesday, April 24th at 3:30 p.m. in Lecture Center 104. This session will highlight recent delegation travel to Cuba, potential research and other collaborative opportunities, and seek whether you would like to engage in this work further. As shared in recent faculty reports by President Wheeler, a SUNY delegation attended this year's Congreso Universidad / Cuban Higher Education Summit in Havana, Cuba, February 4th to 10th. SUNY New Paltz's participants also included Executive Director of International Programs Beth Vargas and Deputy Chief of Staff Director of Community and Government Relations Rich Winters. During the visit, SUNY and higher education institutions from across the world engaged with their campus counterparts across Cuba in an expo and through direct conversation. In particular, the SUNY New Paltz delegation held bilateral meetings with the following four campuses: Universidad de Cienfuegos, Universidad de Ciencias, Instituto Superior de Diseño. While these campuses offer multiple programs, conversations focused on a few clear areas for future work, including sustainability, music/fine arts, education, and STEM. Please join us to learn more about this trip and how the Center for International Programs may connect you with respective Cuban faculty and universities.
And now, top world headlines. The U.S.-operated GPS has falsely located planes, people, and ships, sometimes placing them at the Beirut's International Airport. For the past few months, the U.S.-operated global positioning system has been listing planes, people, and even ships hundreds of miles from Lebanon in a surprising place, Beirut's International Airport. It's the result of a practice called GPS spoofing, which sends false location signals to satellites that overwhelm the real signals. The operations, which researchers have traced to Israel, are intended to deter rockets and missiles, but at the same time increasing risks for airline passengers while forcing pilots and ship captains to abandon automated safety systems developed over decades. Quote, "I like to say that spoofing is the new jamming," says Todd Humphreys, a professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Texas at Austin, who's an expert on GPS spoofing. Quote, "Instead of just jamming the signals and breaking the links with GPS satellites, they're spoon-feeding them false signals," end quote. Quote, "This is unprecedented. It's not just the usual suspects," he says, noting that Russia interferes with GPS systems in the war in Ukraine. Quote, "But now it's Israel. It's an ally of the United States," end quote. Israel acknowledged that after the start of the war in Gaza last October that it was blocking GPS for defensive purposes, but has not publicly commented on more advanced interference.
The European Union has launched a probe into TikTok's spin-off Light app and threatened to suspend an, quote, addictive, end quote, feature on it that rewards users for watching and liking videos amid child safety concerns. TikTok Lite arrived in France and Spain in March, allowing users aged 18 and more to earn points that can be exchanged for goods like vouchers or gift cards through the app's rewards program. The European Commission said in a statement on Monday that it has concerns about the app's, quote, risks of serious damage for the mental health of users, end quote, including minors. TikTok Lite is a smaller version of the popular TikTok app, taking up less memory in a smartphone and made to perform over slower internet connections. TikTok last week failed to provide a risk assessment for the spinoff app by an April 18th deadline, the commission said, demanding the company now provide it by Tuesday. It is threatening to impose interim measures, including suspending the rewards program in the European Union, quote, pending the assessment of its safety, end quote. TikTok, owned by China's ByteDance, has until Wednesday to present a formal defense against such a measure. The commission also warned that if TikTok failed to reply to the request, it could impose fines of up to 1% of its total annual income or of its global turnover and periodic penalties up to 5% of its average daily income or annual turnover worldwide. TikTok said it would continue discussions with the commission and said the rewards program was not available to minors.
Sudan's civil war began its army and the paramilitary rapid support forces could very well trigger a conflict in North Darfur that has impacts beyond Sudan's borders, according to residents, aid workers, and experts. Clashes between the Sudanese army and the rival RSF are pulling in tribal actors, raising fears of a spiral into mass killings along ethnic lines, said the director of an international non-governmental organization who requested anonymity to protect their team in North Darfur. Last week, tensions soared after the joint force of armed struggle movements, a coalition of, quote, non-Arab armed groups, dropped their neutrality on April 12th to support the army against the RSF. A day later, the RSF side burned down several, quote, non-Arab villages in the east of North Darfur, following disputes between nomads and farming tribes over stolen cattle, according to the residents.
Israel abandoned plans for a much more extensive counterstrike on Iran after concerted diplomatic pressure from the United States and other foreign allies, and because the brunt of an Iranian assault on Israel's soil had been thwarted, according to three senior Israeli officials. Israeli leaders originally discussed bombarding several military targets across Iran last week, including near Tehran, the Iranian capital, in retaliation for the Iranian strike on April 13th, said the officials, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe the sensitive discussions. Such a broad and damaging attack would have been far harder for Iran to overlook, increasing the chances of a forceful Iranian counterattack that could have brought the Middle East to the brink of a major regional conflict.
Hugh Edwards, one of the BBC's highest-profile anchors, and who was suspended last year over allegations of paying for explicit images, resigned from the broadcaster on Monday. Mr. Edwards, 62, had led the BBC's coverage of major national events, including the death and funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. He started as a trainee in 1984, and by the end of his career, he was the regular anchor of the, quote, BBC News at 10, end quote. He was suspended by the BBC in July after the Sun tabloid newspaper reported that an unnamed anchor from the broadcaster had paid a teenager $45,000 for sexually explicit images, starting when the person was 17. Mr. Edwards' wife later publicly identified her husband as the anchor in the report. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:21.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
There once was a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Well, I'm taking Algebra 2 in a foreign language.
Oh, so you can talk to unicorns?
Exactly. Unless they're French.
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find the classes he really needed. Getting into college doesn't happen magically. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for The Huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz Athletics. The State University of New York continued its three-game SUNY AC series Saturday with a doubleheader against Brockport on Clark v. Whited Field and earned its first series win over the Golden Eagles since 2018. The Hawks, 18-10 overall, looked to make it five in a row after taking the first game of the series Friday. Brockport wanted to put an end to the winning streak and picked up the win in Game 1, 5-1. SUNY New Paltz dusted itself off with the fantastic pitching, backed by a seven-inning no-hit bid by sophomore Robert Gregory, while coupled by superb hitting by the Hawks, leading to a 10-1 Game 2 win.
The State University of New York at New Paltz women's tennis team was on the road today after last night's suspended home game against Vassar. The Hawks placed Hartwick College on the SUNY Oneonta tennis court. The Hawks downed Wick 9-0. This was the first match in the last three that was not canceled or shortened due to rain or snow. Quote, with some changes to our lineup, we followed up tough matches with a solid win over Hartwick. Number one doubles Onale Batchelor and Isabel Vanderveen had a solid win 8-4, followed up by number two Tatiana Barnett and Nina Genzone, winning tight double matches 7-4 in a tight tiebreaker. Singles pretty much went our way with a convincing display from top to bottom. Again, this spring is all about preparing for the conference championship, end quote, said Coach Rob Brulee.
Last year, pickleball courts were rolled out as the off-season replacement for skating at Woolman Rink in Central Park. The playing surface was like a huge acrylic carpet that covered the rink's concrete floor. This year, there won't be anything between the pickleball players' feet and the rink itself. The floor is being resurfaced. City Pickle, which now has a three-year deal for pickleball at the rink, says the new surface will be permanent and will do double duty for the sport, which is sometimes described as the easier-going cousin of tennis. When skating season returns, the pickleball courts will winter unseen under the ice. The company also says that the new surface will drain and dry faster after a rainstorm than the acrylic carpet did, so players can get back on the courts sooner.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. A bill that would ban TikTok, unless its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, divests its ownership stake, could soon become a U.S. law. TikTok is gearing up a legal fight against the measure if that happens, with plans to challenge it in court on First Amendment grounds. Quote, "At the stage that the bill is signed, we will move to the courts for a legal challenge," Michael Beckerman, TikTok's head of public policy for the Americas, wrote in a memo to the company's staff over the weekend. Beckerman's message to employees came in the wake of the U.S. House of Representatives' passage Saturday by a 360-58 vote of a revised version of a previous TikTok ban bill it had passed.
House Speaker Mike Johnson had issued a new proposal on the TikTok ban, tied to a package of foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, that extends the deadline for ByteDance sale of TikTok from 6 to 9 months. With an additional 90-day extension possible if sale negotiations are in process. The TikTok ban bill is due to go up for vote in the Senate as early as Tuesday. President Biden has said he would sign the bill into law. The bill is a, quote, clear violation, end quote, of the U.S. Constitution First Amendment and would have, quote, devastating consequences for the 7 million small businesses on the platform, according to Beckerman.
The weekend is over, and after two nights of drunken confessions, rejected fakes, and surprising hookups, we've got some tea for you. It's time for the gossip column. Kim Kardashian's social media profile is taking a hit in the wake of Taylor Swift dropping a new diss track about the reality TV star. ICYMI, Taylor's new song, quote, "Thank You, A, I Am Me," is a thinly veiled revenge anthem against Kim, hence the capitalized letters in the title in the song. Taylor blasts a bully from her past, slamming the woman as a, quote, bronze spray tan statue, end quote. And only a few days after the track's release, Kim lost more than 100,000 fans on social media, with countless Swifties spamming her Instagram and X page with vitriol. One fan wrote, quote, "Finally, someone stood up to Amy," end quote. Another said Kim should have apologized back in 2016 after she tried to paint Taylor as a liar by releasing a private conversation between the singer and her ex-husband, Kanye West.
However, not everyone has viewed this new diss track as negative, with several of Kim's fans claiming the song has only further elevated the Skims mogul's fame. Others have called on Kim's momager, Kris Jenner, to cash in on the drama by responding to the diss track on the family's Hulu show. BTW, losing 100,000 on social, is basically a blip on Kim's radar, and she does still have 363 million just on Instagram. Taylor has made it no secret she's still upset with Kim all these years later. In her Time Person of the Year cover story, she called out Kim by name for trying to get her canceled.
Today is April 22nd. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here are some folks who share your special day. Actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan turns 58. Actor Jack Nicholson turns 87, and rapper Machine Gun Kelly turns 34.
That's about it from us, folks, but before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1976, Barbara Walters became the first female nightly news anchor on network television. In 1861, Robert E. Lee was named the commander of Virginia forces. And in 1500, Pedro Alvarez Cabral discovers Brazil.
And that'll be it from us for the week. On the Edge News staff, our directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Mars Pugliese. Sources for Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Pulse Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.
Get paid every 24 hours. Money in the power. Come to VIP and get a champagne shower. I don't have to worry because everything ours. And I got a big bouquet of Mary Jane's flowers. That I promise that's my dude, but we don't skip that Reggie push. And I'm with two women, make you take a second look. We popping like champagne bottles, but we never shook. And we gon' be alright if we put Drake on it.